Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Jay tried to tell you this a couple weeks ago. We're always listening to Jay, obviously, but he said it early. It might be Jamal Murray's team. And Michael Malone, the Nuggets head coach last night, essentially said, meeting Jay halfway or more than that, saying, we got two superstars. We got Murray, who's balled out in the bubble, and we got Jokic, who had a quiet 22-10. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Fellas, Key, your squad, lead cut in half.
Oh, stop, man. We didn't play well last night.
Just facts. Just reporting facts.
One game.
The box scores on our two bigs obviously look great. But when you watch the game, it was kind of – it wasn't quite there. Our bench didn't play up to snuff. Where Denver's second unit played better, defended better. They got what they needed out of Murray and Jokic. And that's what it is. I mean, you know, what do you want me to say? You're looking at me
– I was just waiting for you to finish talking.
But you're staring at me. So there's obviously a problem with what I'm saying.
Don't stare at me.
You called
Don't
it on Murray.
Don't stare at the talent.
You called it on Murray, man.
He said that what J. Will said yesterday on our show is that the Lakers are going to drop game three, and that's what they did.
Yeah, he's right.
He was right. You know, and I figured they would win in five, and they're on course to doing that.
Game four tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, you know, when I watched Jamal Murray play He definitely, and I've heard people say this, you know, a guy I pay attention to, Rashad Phillips, too, has said this multiple times. He reminds me of Gilbert Arenas. Like, he really does. Agent Zero, very shifty, can shoot the ball from deep. Doesn't maybe have the same explosiveness, but, man, the way he handles the rock, the way he moves, he made two clutch threes late in the fourth last night. One was on Alex Caruso. It was like a little step back, and it was from so deep. The other one was over Anthony Davis, and it seemed like it was a rainbow shot. Like, he could have touched the ceiling and then come back down. So, look, he closed the game. Jokic opened the game. But don't get this twisted at all. The second unit, guys like Monte Morris, Michael Porter Jr., Jeremy Grant, who guarded both LeBron James and AD last night, scoring 26 points, a career high, they won the game. They got Denver out to a double-digit lead in the second quarter, and once they had that double-digit lead, they never looked back.
It was a 20-point lead. Eventually, it was the largest deficit the Lakers have faced this postseason.
I knew we was going to lose, though, when they were up by 20. I knew. I was like, they're going to fake a fake run, and they're going to lose.
I knew the Lakers were going to lose when Alex Caruso got shacked in the fool moment. I don't know if
when he tried to shoot the ball over there.
I was like, here we go.
Yeah, I knew when we were down by 20, you know, I knew. I was like, even if we've been pushed, which we did down to three, I think it was, I knew. I was like, we're going to lose the
game. Here's the thing you worry about sometimes with the Lakers. And look, I'm not worried about the Lakers. If the Lakers get down 3-2, then I will be worried
be
about
careful.
The Lakers. If they get down 3-2. If it's 2-2, I'm still not worried about the Lakers.
Well,
the only thing he will be because he
you don't want that. We're not looking for 2-2. That's not what we want to deal with. Oh. We don't want to fall into that. We were up 2-0, even though the Clippers were up 3-1 and it closed the gap. We don't want that gap closing to 2-2 because at that point, it gets
the
real
tightness. Look at
we
you
don't
making
want
the narrative if that
no,
happens.
No, we
actually.
Don't want that.
And then the
All
Nuggets,
I'm saying, though, is that the Nuggets packed the paint last night. And one of the things the Lakers cannot do is just settle for outside jumpers. I mean, we've talked
what
about
you,
this,
What
key.
Do you mean when you say pack the paint?
So, the box, right?
Okay,
the
paint. I know that, okay.
You saw the way they play defense. They didn't really overextend themselves last
okay.
night. So, what happens sometimes when you see teams playing passing lanes, trying to deny passes or trying to get steals, that opens up lanes for LeBron James to attack the rim. It opens up lanes for AD to attack the rim. What you saw last night was AD not really attacking the rim, but he was floating around the perimeter, shooting a lot of jumpers. You guys shot 23% from the three-point line last night. Don't shoot as many threes. Don't let Denver dictate to you how you need to play. Dominate the paint because that's what your strong suit has been the entire series.
He just pushed Caruso in the video. But look, when LeBron was trying to go to the cup and everybody would – crowding,
yep.
Is that packing?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Like they call it shrinking the court.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Like I much rather have KCP shoot a late contested three-point shot than allowing, similar to the way the Houston Rockets did, LeBron just to come down and shoot layup after layup after layup after layup. Now, that's how LeBron and AD find their rhythm. Like make them settle for contested shots.
But if I'm penetrating to the cup,
yep,
and all of a sudden I got three people collapsing on me,
the right place.
My next job
it, right?
is to kick.
Exactly.
They've got to knock down those shots, which you say don't take the shot. Don't allow Denver to force us into taking long threes. Well, what else are we going to do?
Well, you can always take a dribble in and shoot a mid-range jumper.
Yeah, but three is better than two, right?
I mean, but you're not the Houston Rockets, right? You're not the Houston Rockets. Like, you're the Lakers. Like, you can – there's a way you find your rhythm in basketball. I don't know. I'd be curious how you did this in football, right? Maybe it's, you know, get a couple of, underneath routes, get that rhythm.
Early.
Catch the ball early, yeah. Right? Same thing for basketball. You don't have to just take a 30-foot jumper. You could take a dribble in, shoot a mid-range, find your rhythm. Right,
get back out.
Okay, fair enough for sure. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com.
See, that's why I like this show, because I can get to education on exactly what to do when I'm hitting those jumpers on Jay.
Oh,
see how I did that?
He played a little high school ball, you know.
From a football perspective, is that let's run a couple underneath routes? Like some check downs.
Yeah,
real quick,
if you ever notice in a game when a quarterback is out of rhythm and he's getting his butt kicked, they change the course of how they call plays. Now all of a sudden they'll throw a little 6-yard hitch, an underneath route, a screen to kind of calm things down to get him in rhythm.
But I'm saying from a wide receiver perspective, like, do you not care? Could it be like
give me a reverse. I don't care what let me touch it. Mm. That's all. However you get it to me, let me. Get a feel for it. Let me get hit.
And by the way, you weren't scoring me. I would beat it up.
You seen that picture I was just sent.
What picture is this?
Hey, you sent a picture of me sitting down next to Evan.
No, him and Evan standing next to each other.
I was sitting down
actually,
in my
Evan,
chair.
Evan might be sitting
in my chair, and Keyshawn says, who's taller? Between me and Evan.
Gotcha. With our producer Evan standing and you sitting.
Yes, it is. Let's see who Keyshawn is.
All right, fair enough. Real quick, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And by the way, the last time the Nuggets were in the Western Conference Finals before this year, George Karl was their head coach, and George will join us at 8:30.
Yeah. And who were they playing, Z?
Wait. Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Zoom, I got to tell you, George Karl coached me at USA Basketball with Reggie Miller, Baron Davis, Paul Pierce. And they all called me. I fell asleep on the bus. And BD put hot sauce on my lips while I was sleeping. I kept waking up, like, slapping my lips, so they all called me hot sauce. But George Karl, one of the all-time best coaches. And by the way, always tells you exactly how it is.
He is a straight shooter.
Exactly
I covered him for years.
Like, to players, to fans, to coaches, does not care, does not hold back. He's going to tell you.
I've learned a lot from Zubin here recently. He's a real Denver fan. Not Nuggets, just Denver. Because you kind of – every time something mentioned Denver, whether it's the Rockies or whether it's the Broncos or the Nuggets, he goes, or the Avalanche or whatever. He's like, yeah, Denver. I covered Denver.
You ever kicked it in Denver?
No, but it's not – I'm
asking you. I know.
No, not really. I know.
Denver's all right.
Yeah, but I can't.
Denver's a good time.
I mean, it's cool, but I just – nah.
Yeah. Too cold for you?
No, it's just not my.
He's still not wearing socks, and it's getting close to fall in New York City.
I'm
it's cold outside.
In a building,
but you still go outside. Yeah, I got socks on.
It's not cold though.
Keyshawn sans socks this morning.
So
again,
Cali, I love it.
George Karl coming up at 8:30 this morning, and that was a great series, and that turned on an Aaron inbounds pass. You may remember if you're a hardcore fan. Remember those two teams in game number one. It's just the little things that sometimes can make the biggest of differences. So Key has diagnosed, real quick, Key has diagnosed what he thought went wrong for the Lakers. What does AD think went wrong last night?
First three quarters, they're more physical than us. They play more desperation. They play harder. They were getting to 50-50 basketballs. They were the aggressors. And it showed in the first three, and then the fourth quarter we started playing our style of basketball, able to get back, cut us to three, had a chance to take the lead, you know, but when you're down, you know, 20 and you're trying to, you know, battle back everything, you know, has to go right, kind of have to have a perfect storm. And we had opportunities, then they made plays at the end, but, you know, we just didn't come out very aggressive and physical tonight.
You know, a lot of Laker fans were talking about this last night, and I agree with them all. I don't know why Frank Vogel continues to play JaVale McGee so much. You know, I know Dwight Howard got a little bit in his own head last night, but still the physicality he brings to the table is a drastically different approach on Jokic than JaVale McGee. And JaVale McGee in the first quarter, I mean, Jokic came out and set the tone for how the Nuggets were going to play. And the question we've been having about Jokic and before we hit the middle of the season was his conditioning. He was fat. I mean, Jalen Rose, who, you know, we do NBA countdown together, didn't call him a stretch five. He called him a stretch mark five. Like, that's what he was calling him, right? Because he was out of shape. And, I mean, catching COVID, the conditioning that he's in right now is top line conditioning. And there were times that he plays the point forward, the point center, whatever role you want to call him on the team. And he was just driving the ball, attacking the JaVale McGee, attacking him all the time, up and under moves. And that really set the tone for how they were going to play. So it felt like Shaq used your line last night, Key. He was like, the Lakers came out here and they were cute. They were cute in the first two quarters. They were cute. And Denver set the tone.
He didn't sound like that, though.
No, he didn't sound like that, but he said
they
cute.
They were cute.
They were cute.
Deeper octave there.
Yeah, they were cute.
They were cute.
So we'll see what happens in Game 4 tomorrow night, ESPN Radio. Jay and the crew back tonight for Countdown leading into the Heat and Celtics tonight in the big spot for Boston to see if they can get right back into this series, right back into some really interesting NFL questions here in just 1 minute from the guys. But first, let's go from A to Z. Let's start in the NBA. The Bulls have hired Billy Donovan as their head coach, which means the Thunder need a head coach. So do the Pelicans, the Pacers, the Sixers, and the Rockets. Donovan spent 5 years in OKC, made the playoffs all 5 years, but if they trade Chris Paul and it turns into somewhat of a rebuilding project, he said, I'm not sure about that. He declined a 2-year contract extension before the season began, but you would think the Bulls are also in a rebuilding mode themselves. So Billy Donovan has filled a coaching vacancy. The Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden and the Saints coach Sean Payton have been fined $100,000 by the NFL for not wearing masks on Monday Night Football. Gruden kind of had it around the chin area. I didn't see anything with Payton. Remember, Payton has overcome coronavirus. It's a little strange that he would take that particular attack. You might recall earlier in the week, Vic Fangio of the Denver Broncos, Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks, and Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers all fined $100,000 for being too loose on the mask restrictions in the NFL. Every single organization, by the way, also fined $250,000. And Jose Ramirez, who's one of the most underrated players in all of baseball, put the Indians in the postseason last evening. With two outs in the 10th, he gave him a 5-3 win over the White Sox when he went yard for the 3-run blast. Congratulations to Keys Dodgers. They also clinched the NL's top postseason seed. So that best of three in the first round will all be played at Chavez Ravine. It's their 8th straight division title. Key with the clap to commemorate it with a 7-2 victory over the Oakland Athletics, who are also, of course, headed to the playoffs. That is A to Z, and we are setting up for our weekly game here on Wednesday, where we simply take a juicy question, and by the way, all these are going to be NFL questions, and we give the guys the opportunity to fill in the blank. Fellas, this is the Straight Fire NFL edition. We got all five, and all of them are NFL related. Let's run into it. Here we go, Key. The biggest overreaction from week two of the NFL season, now it's in the books, has been fill in the blank.
For me, the Arizona Cardinals, they headed to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the way everybody's acting after they went 2-0. They beat up
opinion.
On huh?
It's a cute opinion.
Yeah. They're headed to the Super Bowl. That's what it's like. Slow down, man. I understand that they beat up on Washington. They beat a 49er team that lost in the Super Bowl, that had a good team coming into the season, despite having a bunch of injuries in the preseason, in training camp.
Sure.
So when you look at it, Arizona to me, it's like everybody's going nuts over Arizona right now. Like, just slow it down.
Man, you better put some respect on their names.
I'm just
you
saying.
You better put some respect on Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins' names. And let's talk, if you want to talk about Arizona for 1 second, hold on, let me pull this up. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull this up because we're going to talk about this squad. Because I actually want you to pay attention to, you said it's only 0-2. So,
no, 2-0.
2-0. Excuse me. They're about to play at the Panthers. No Christian McCaffrey. They're about to play at the Jets. And then they play the Cowboys. They play the Lions, Panthers, Jets. So they're about to be walking into the game with the Cowboys. 5-0.
You know, you do.
So I want you to keep calling them. I want you to keep calling them cute.
But wait, as bad as the Lions look last year in this year so far, they struggled to tie the Lions last year.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. And the Lions should have won the game that they lost to Chicago. They lost that game on Mitch Trubisky late in the fourth quarter. If Swift catches the ball, it's a touchdown, game over.
Well, I mean, you're the person that says up here all the time, if I could have,
I understand right? But don't act like they just got a cakewalk. That's all I'm saying.
So you taking the Lions?
I wait till I pick my games.
Whatever. You know, I'm going to say the biggest overreaction for week two has been, I mean, the Texans, right? Everybody's been worried about what's wrong with the Texans. And look, Anthony Weaver, first year as a D.C., you think about this team, obviously lost DeAndre Hopkins, one of the main targets. You think about Tim Kelly, OC for this team, figuring out his own way. Plus, they played against the Chiefs and the Ravens. I know their next game is at the Steelers, but just take a pause for a second. Texans are going to be okay.
Yep, at Pittsburgh, that will be.
That's going to be tough.
It will,
but they're going to be okay.
We talked.
Man, you should go bet on Arizona to win the Super Bowl. You should do that.
I didn't say that.
Some good odds on
that. I'll take them to beat the Lions, though. I bet you ain't going to take the Lions.
When I pick my games, man.
Oh, I look forward to that.
This is something we've been hot on all morning long. For those of you just joining us, though, this is something Jay's been hot on. Quote, it's fill in the blank to pay running backs big money.
It's okay. It's okay to pay the running backs big money. Why not? I mean, they're part of your team. Christian McCaffrey is a pretty good running back. Ezekiel Elliott is a pretty good running back. You know, Saquon Barkley, if he would have stayed healthy, I would have extended him in 2 years.
Dalvin Cook.
Big, I mean, those guys in their second contracts, it's okay to give them that 3 years of money. I mean, everybody looks at Todd Gurley, right? The latest example of somebody that kind of fizzled out. Mm-hmm. He helped lead his team to a Super Bowl appearance. They paid him the year before. There was nothing wrong with giving him that money for the next 3 years.
So I would make two blanks. He said, it's okay. I would say, is it okay?
It's a question now.
Yeah, okay, I mean, Chiefs, Damian Williams, Patriots, Sonny Michel, Eagles, LeGarrette Blount, right. Patriots, LeGarrrette Blount, right. Broncos, C.J. Anderson, Patriots, LeGarrette Blount, Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch, Ravens, Ray Rice, Giants, Ahmad Bradshaw, Packers, James Starks. I mean, okay.
But none of those guys except two
Marshawn
of them,
Lynch was the only one that really was
two,
paid.
Two of them was Ray Rice.
I think Ray Rice got paid afterwards.
Well, because he probably went to the Super Bowl.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. For the value you had of him at the time, he wasn't on a big time contract.
And you can get value from it. There's no question about it. But
I'm not devaluing running backs. I'm not saying that they don't have value. I'm just saying, to what extent are we going to pay running backs if we're seeing a list of running backs that haven't been paid that extraordinary money, and they've won Super Bowls?
Yeah, but looking at it from a GM perspective, them dudes that we're talking about, though, they're later round guys, or they're either later round guys or they're somewhat pedestrian running backs and bounce around guys.
So I got this stat for you too, Key. Last season, there were 15 running backs who rushed for over 1,000 yards. Only 6 were drafted in the first round. I mean, you can get quality QBs. You can get quality running backs in later rounds.
Oh, no question you can. No question
you can. That's all I'm saying.
And no question.
I'm not trying to take money from anybody's pocket. I want everybody to be paid.
Yeah, get him, Twitter.
I'm just saying.
Let's try to run through these real quick here if we can. And the one thing I wanted to mention, all those guys that Jay mentioned, those were Super Bowl winning running backs. So yes, obviously there is something there. All right, so the Broncos signed. Oh, Denver. Hey, I got to calm down. The Broncos picked up Blake Bortles yesterday. They needed him. He was out of the league, believe it or not. But not signing Colin Kaepernick. Key, the Broncos not signing Colin Kaepernick is?
It's fine.
It was never going to happen. Elway is not going to sign Kaepernick.
I've moved on from the conversation of signing Kaepernick. I'm with him on everything he stands for. I have moved on dealing with teams trying to sign Kaepernick.
Especially the Broncos.
I get it. They're not going to do it. My brain is exhausted from that. We know he can play. I'm tired of trying to advocate for him to get back in the lead and playing when they're not listening. But I'm for everything else that he's rolling with. I'm rolling with him on everything, trying to get back in the league.
Which likely, Key's point, probably is not going to happen. It just doesn't feel, if it hasn't happened by now. Let's roll through these last two. The Vikings, off to an 0-2 start, will win fill-in-the-blank games this season. Cousins threw for 113 on Sunday. 113.
That was your pick. Man, I'm going to try to give them 8 games.
8?
I'm going to try to get them to 500.
Their defense better step up.
I'm just trying to, because Kirk Cousins, man, I don't know. Man, I don't know. I just never.
Jay, do you know?
There's a reason. See, for me, there's always a reason that you allow your starting quarterback to go. Because he ain't good. And so when Washington decided to not keep him, I'm like, why would you sign him? It's the same thing I went through when I was a rookie and we signed Neil O'Donnell that appeared in a Super Bowl.
The quarterback, but
the Steelers decided to let him go. They was like, we'd rather deal with Tomczak or somebody.
Mike Tomczak
I think it was like either Mike Tomczak or somebody like that.
Mike Tomczak.
I'm just worried about the Vikings defense. I mean, 43 points week one, 28 points week two, going against the Titans next, at Texans, at Seahawks, Falcons, at Packers, Lions, Bears, they should get. Cowboys, no. Panthers, maybe they'll get three.
You can't find eight?
Maybe seven?
Man. See, and Coach Mike Zimmer's
7.5 and bet on it.
Yes. Mike Zimmer's my guy. Take it, some money on it. Yeah, I don't know. I give them eight, though. I think they can get eight.
And as Key has mentioned a couple times this week, Zimmer also got a huge contract extension in the offseason. So, yeah. Hey, it's a rough patch.
Rick Spielman.
Their GM.
So, we'll see. We'll see.
That's coming off of Cousins' first playoff win, too, in dramatic fashion against the Saints. They were really looking to take the next step. They haven't been able to do it. On the way here next, Jay mentioned he knew George Karl from USA Basketball, but George Karl knows the Nuggets like nobody else. He took him to the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. What does he think, almost a decade later, of this Western Conference Finals between the Nuggets and the Lakers? We'll get his expert analysis on the way when he joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Let's walk right over to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We welcome in George Karl, one of the NBA's greatest coaches of all time. If wins mean anything to you, he's in the 1,000 win club. There's only nine people that can ever say they have done that. George was also the coach of the Nuggets the last time they went to the Western Conference Finals in 08-09. That was a 54-win Nuggets team that really energized the city in an incredible way, and he joins us this morning. Coach, as you look at the current iteration of the Nuggets, especially after last night, what's the biggest thing you see?
Well, I see. I think the biggest thing you see right now is two young players are figuring out how to win in the playoffs. And, I mean, the first game, it was Jokic. I mean, game two, it was Jokic. Last night, it was Murray. They got a great – they got a lot of performance out of their bench. And I'm going to tell you, man, they're defending well. And the Lakers, if they don't get in the open court, they have trouble scoring right now. So I still think the Lakers got to be the favorite team. I mean, you can't, you know, I still think that's probably why I end up that way. But Denver has played closer to being really good than to being a team that's out. And they're growing up. They're just coming. They're doing the right things. They're not getting intimidated by the stress of the situation. And they play better when their backs are against the wall.
Coach Karl, Jay Williams here. How's my favorite North Carolina guy doing?
Well, I still don't like this school 8 miles down the road, but you know, I have tremendous respect for you and Duke University and Coach K and all the greats that have come out of there. But we've had a lot of fun over the years, Jay.
I'm with you, Coach. What did you see last night from Jeremy Grant? I mean, he scored 26 points, but people don't understand how difficult it is to guard LeBron and AD, a job he actually took passion in doing.
Well, he was the key to the game. I mean, they needed a third scorer. Jokic came out and scored early, but he didn't have to score the 30 or 35 points in a lot of games he seems like he has to do. Everybody else was involved, too. Morris gave him a good shot in the arm, and Millsap wasn't great, but it was okay. And it seems like right now the series almost goes how the role players, the other players play, are the ones that kind of lift and energize the team to win.
Coach, can you describe the difference for me, Jamal Murray, in this postseason compared to previous postseasons?
Yeah, I see a guy that loves the fourth quarter, that plays big in the fourth quarter. And right now, I think Jokic and Murray are playing as well as anyone in the playoffs and have played as well as anyone in the playoffs down the stretch. They have a confidence in the fourth quarter, if the game is going the right way, that they're going to one, they're going to come back and make a run at you, or two, they have the confidence to win a game with a lead like they did last night.
Really incredible to see the Nuggets fight back. And as anybody that's been watching Nuggets basketball the last couple of years in the playoffs knows that when their backs are against the wall, seven-game series last year against Portland, before that, seven games against San Antonio in the first round, and obviously the 3-1 comebacks this season, never been done in a single postseason, rallying against Utah, rallying against the Clippers. Let's see if they can clip that other L.A. team. Game number 4, Thursday night, 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Coach Carl, really appreciate the perspective this morning, and really appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
All right, Coach. Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
That's the 1,000 win club, Jay. I mean, the 1,000 win club. There are not 10 people in NBA history that have done that. He's in that group. Those old teams with Seattle, if you're old enough to remember what they did in the mid-90s. He did an incredible job. He's a great NBA coach.
Not sure if Coach is on the West Coast, but still really appreciate him joining the call. And I will tell you this, you know, playing USA basketball, play with him and Reggie Miller and Ray Allen, these guys, the plays that he was able to draw up like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the most complicated, complex, but simple plays, the way he was able to articulate that, convey that. Can you know how important that is? Your coach being able to say, hey, this is what we want to do, but it sounds simple, even though it doesn't look simple. I always think that was one of his superpowers.
Look, can I say one thing? With both of you guys being parents, I think one of the great things that I happened to cover Coach Carl for most of his career there, most of Carmelo's career. I worked in Denver for 6 years. And one of the great moments, and, you know, I know your daughter, how old is it? You're 2 years old?
She's 2 years. About to turn two, October 10th.
And Key, obviously, you've got grown children and young children. When George Carl's son, I think you guys would appreciate this.
Kobe played
at Boise State. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was on, you know, a couple NBA rosters for a minute here or there. He came in to do a combine workout for the Nuggets. You know, why not? Let's just see what we got, you know. He was involved with the Lakers G League team. Uh-huh. There were some things. But to see the look on Carl's face when his son walked in, I don't know if we're going to draft him. I don't know if he could even get any minutes or, you know, the summer league team or whatever it is. But to see his son walk in, because they always give you the jersey of the team you're working out with, right? So to see him walk in those powder blue uniforms and, you know, jump 45, whatever you're supposed to do and hit that thing in the air. The look on his face as a dad was unreal. My son is working out for my NBA team. It's pretty cool.
And Kobe came with him everywhere. I mean, Kobe was with us for the entire USA basketball trip, the entire time, working out with guys after the game, working out with guys after practice, and actually could compete. I love Kobe. Kobe, I haven't spoken to him in years, obviously, but George has done an incredible job with him as well.
No question about it. Just a reminder, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin brought to you by Sport Clips. It's a new season at Sport Clips. Haircuts, all stylists, clean certified, guys smart. Get yourself back in the game. Sport Clips MVP experience. Enjoy a hot steam towel, relaxing shampoo, and winning cut. Check it online. Walk out with confidence. On the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line at 9:30, fellas, Coach O from LSU with the SEC ready to be back this weekend. Their September 26th start date, they called for it. They are going to hit it. We're also presented by Progressive Insurance. Speaking of college football, still to come, should the playoff be pushed back after Notre Dame and other teams are suffering outbreaks when they need to be playing on Saturdays to hit their mandated amount of games? Or will that number change and the playoff date change from January 1?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, we're talking NBA all morning long. Lakers, tough one last night. Could be a tough night for the Miami Heat or the Boston Celtics. We'll see Jay and the crew with the NBA countdown leading into the big one in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. So plenty of NBA to get to. We'll have a champion by the middle of next month. We'll have waited 11 months as Jay's got the perfect shooting form on ESPN News. That's the longest wait ever for any NBA champion. 11 months until you crown a champion. When you think about the start of the season, the stoppage, and when we crown one in October. Now, here's something interesting. We're going to crown a college football champion. The question is, who's probably the best one, right? Who's going to win it? And when are we going to do it? Right now, tentatively slated, the college football playoff will be played January 1 with the semifinal games. It'll be the Rose Bowl and the All-State Sugar Bowl. And then they'll play the championship game as is they normally do. A couple Mondays later, January 11th, they'll crown a champion in Miami. But Key, with everything that's going on with the coronavirus, Notre Dame canceling a game this weekend, TCU and SMU had to cancel a game, Virginia and Virginia Tech has been put off. I mean, we could go just to a litany list down the line. Any chance you think the playoff might be delayed a little bit here just with the idea that the virus does not discriminate and it is in control and college football is not?
It seems that it would be delayed. It seems that way because obviously we still have teams that have to play and schools have to play and we don't know where this thing is headed. We could come back next week and two or three games could get canceled, or come back a week later, a game or two will get canceled for teams that – you know, we don't know what's going to happen at Alabama or Ohio State or Michigan or some of these other teams that have the opportunity to possibly play.
And it played zero games to this point.
And they played zero games to this point. And I would think that, much like Jay Will said about a week or so ago when it was announced that the Big Ten Conference was going to come back and start play, you want to have the best schools in the playoff, right? Because it's a economic driven situation. And so you look at it and you say, okay, if they're going to do this thing in mid-January and they're pushing it back to the end of January, early February, what does that say? Does that mean that now you have some of your players that have opted in or opted out and opted back in, they're going to opt out again because they now got to think about their future even more in combines, in all-star games, East-West game, Hula Bowls, and Senior Bowls, all of the different games that they got to play in to get ready for the NFL to showcase their skills. The combine will be coming up. You typically need about 7 weeks or so to be ready for the combine. Now, if you're closer to February, that only leaves you probably about 5 weeks to get ready for the combine. So all of those sort of things have to be thought out and talked about.
One of the best lines I've heard maybe about 13 years ago was, appreciate your position while planning your promotion.
We're having a technical problem with Jay's mic. We'll try.
It keeps turning on and off. Is it on now?
Now I hear you.
Okay.
I do hear you.
One of the best lines I heard about 10 years ago was, appreciate your position while planning your promotion. So while I want every athlete in college football to appreciate their position, that they're going to be in a position to play as the Big Ten is coming back, we still don't know what the Pac-12 is going to do.
Yeah.
I do not want them to miss the mark about planning for their promotion. And what I mean by that is, now is the time to ask for what you want. Do not miss the mark by not leveraging the power that you do have. And I'm going to keep reminding the athletes. I know fans might get frustrated by me doing so, but if you're coming back to play in the midst of a pandemic, which is still occurring, by the way.
Yes.
Still occurring, by the way.
200,000
fast. Ask for lifelong health insurance. Ask for it. Like, and I'm getting frustrated because I want to make sure that all the attention and all these narratives have been spun to, how many games are we going to play? What's going to happen with college football playoffs? Will they be postponed? Will that wait until the end of January? What are we going to do about, you know, the draft? All these things. And I don't want to lose sight of what players were originally worried about before with Players United when they were coming out talking about, hey, can we share a rev share? Can we have lifelong health insurance? Key, it just feels like we've forgotten. Players have forgotten about all that stuff now that everybody's so excited to be playing again.
Well, I don't, did they forget about it, or are they just not concentrating on it because, like you said, the football's right in front of them. So now that they're back, they're playing, it's not a focus.
But then we fall back into the same cycle that we always get back into, right? It's like, hey, now everybody has, you know, we all have it, ADHD, right? Heightened sensitivity, like moving on from like Twitter and social media, yeah. Instagram, all these other things. I'm getting distracted.
Sure,
what was my original purpose for being here in the first place? I forgot, right? I forgot what happened last week. It's our job not to let the players forget what happened last week.
Well, it's also our job, but it's also, in my opinion, the administrators at the universities to step up and, you know, step up. You want us to play. We're going to play. Now, step up. You know what we talked about early on. You know some of those things. So let's present that to us as we continue to try to get football going.
When you say administrators, though, athletic directors, their job is to make as much money for this university via the athletic department as possible. A school president could be different, like Michigan and Michigan State school president. The Big Ten is yet to play. They're both medical doctors, right?
Yeah.
So maybe their vision is a little bit different. So when you say administrators, you're talking at the very, very, very top, right? Because the guys that run the athletic department.
I'm talking about the presidents.
The chancellor.
The chancellors.
Board of Regents.
They're not going to do that.
But just if they are, I don't know if they will, right? I mean, if they really being real about it and step up, have that conversation.
I mean, I've heard John Calipari talk about this.
There's nothing wrong with having the conversation. What are you scared of?
I think we need more coaches to step up because, you know, coaches look at making a lot of money. And I've heard John Calipari say this. He's like, look, I make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Players should be able to make a lot of money, too. Right? Like
He's made them a lot of money.
I mean, I've heard Coach K say this. So my thing is, and he's came on, but it's like we had Brian Kelly on our show a couple of days ago. Now, I wasn't here, but Brian Kelly said, right?
He was here, Notre Dame's head coach.
No, but I'm saying was
I don't think I was here. I think it was the day after I did one of the really late NBA games.
All right, I wasn't
but
sure.
Brian Kelly said, hey, we're going to play football, right? We're like, we're safe. Look what's happened right now with that.
Right.
So all I'm saying, and I'm not saying that Brian Kelly is not advocating for players to do this. I just don't want us to lose sight of the mark. And the fact that we are asking players who aren't being paid money to play to all of a sudden say, hey, with all these questions that we have looming about long-term effects and who knows, go play.
Well, that's why I've always said don't play especially until you get what you're supposed to get out of the deal.
We should also mention that Brian Kelly happened to join us. That was the day the Big Ten announced its return. And what was interesting, we brought him, if you were with us that morning, just to recap, Brian Kelly was in a team meeting. So he stepped out of the team meeting to take our call. Thank you, Coach. And the first thing we asked him was, hey, Coach, this is breaking. The Big Ten is back. We'll figure out the schedule later, but they are back and committed to playing October 23rd, 24th. Remember what Brian Kelly said, Key?
He didn't know.
News to me.
Yeah, he didn't know.
The idea really is that even though I'm sure he's got, to your point, long-term, short-term plans, in the moment, these guys aren't even thinking about this because they've got so many other responsibilities.
Well, he was trying to work on their red zone offense. That was more his concern.
But think about that.
That goes exactly to my point, right? So there's a lot of moving parts, right? Very fluid. You have to adapt and pivot very quickly on the fly. Coaches are doing that. Like, what schemes are we in? How do I get my team prepared? Who's going to be my starting quarterback? What's COVID protocol? Who has COVID? Who's going to play? Who's not going to play? Administrators are trying to figure this out. From a revenue perspective, how much money are we going to make? How many games are we actually going to be allowed to have? So everybody is having their own priorities about what their responsibilities are. I just want the players to still have their priorities about what their responsibility is as well.
Real quick point, because you guys were recruited to the nth degree. I mean, everybody wanted you guys to play college.
I wasn't
college.
Going to Duke, but go ahead.
But you were highly coveted wide receiver.
I'm sorry.
And obviously, you had your choice of colleges to go to. One quick thing.
Your ass ain't talking.
Hey now.
One quick thing I just wanted to mention that people don't realize. It used to be National Signing Day when the high school kids would put the caps on and say where they're going to send the only time a fax machine is still ever used in American society. That day has moved from February to December. So it's just a little bit of an issue. Yeah. If you push the season back, you can ask Coach O, you can ask any coach we're going to have on how important recruiting is. It is really important that recruiting has been moved out of February and back to December, especially if we're going to push the season back.
Yeah, I prefer it to be in February and not in December. Yeah, but it also, it allows the coaches to really get an evaluation and the players to not be stressed about scholarship limitations to be gone, things like that. I went through the whole process with my son, and their signing day was in February, although there was a light period in December, so he could sign in December and be there in the spring. It just makes all the sense in the world to be back in February.
Still to come, Jay is heading over to GetUp, so if you want more of Jay's thoughts on the NBA, flip on over to ESPN. In return,
Get Up.
Dan Graziano and an analyst to be named later. We'll have Dan talking NFL next. Jay's on ESPN.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.